made of the chains, made of the claims. Sei gibst in meiner Herz reingekommen, aus meiner Leib, alle wandelt in frei, in meinem Geschreuertigen immer. Seitdem bist du, zieh mir den Herz rein. Meidere, ihr hast gebracht mir Blicke in den Schein. In ihrer Welt können ständig sie herquicken mit deinen süßen Liebesblicken, muss wohl nie verglicken. Not a love. Hey, the love. What a bus of music, never
gave free. All righty. Here we are, back on the air at BBS Radio and New Yiddish Reb Radio Hour. Any of you thinking of trying your own radio program, I highly recommend these folks. They're wonderful. Gentle people, and they live in a place called Paradise, California. So how can you go wrong with that? Gan Eden for radio. Anyway, I was talking about, before our glitch, about my trip to Rome and Israel doing Yossel Rockover. As I was saying, Jerusalem was really a very emotional experience for me. I did it through the kind offices of Jung Yiddish. You may recall, if you listened to the last show, Mendy Kahan was on the show. He's the artistic director, the chief cook and bottle washer, and trying to do his best. He's a fella that has Yiddish in his heart. And the mission for him is entirely finding a way to keep Mama Lucian alive and thriving. And he's struggling. Many of us are. Part of the problem is there just isn't enough cooperation between the people who are trying to do the work. Of course, there is on the level that Mendy and I are on, and there is to some extent with the bigger companies, but it's all rather self-serving to a large extent, and I don't believe the mission is really being accomplished the way it could be if cooperation were sincere and focused on the goal, which is keeping Yiddish theater a viable, living art form. And hopefully, at some point, being able to see original plays being written in Yiddish. There's certainly a community about which plays could be written in spades. And that is the Hasidic religious community and some of the things that are happening there. I want to get back to Jerusalem. So Mendy has this little space. It's a cellar in Jerusalem, near the bus station, if you know Jerusalem at all. And it's on Thursday and Saturday nights. It is the den of klezmer. I don't want to say iniquity, I'll say holiness. People from Jerusalem, young Hasidim, Haredim, untrained musicians, people who just, picked up the clarinet or learned how to play the piano on their own. They come to his space and they play klezmer. And it's quite a scene. It's something that I won't say it's a secret, but if you're in Jerusalem on a Thursday or Saturday night, I suggest that you make your way to Yirmiyahu 52. That's Jeremiah 52, Yirmiyahu 52. walk through the courtyard and follow listen for the music. And, if you head there around 8, 9 o'clock, I am sure that you will pass a interesting hour or two. It's quite an interesting scene and a very appropriate setting for Yossel Rockover Speaks to God. Speaking of theater and Yiddish theater and stuff like that, I want to read to you the press release for the Merchant of Venice reading that will be happening January 13th at the Center for Jewish History, YIVO. It's on 16th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. Be prepared if you're going to come. It's almost like going through the airport. The security is extremely strict. It's annoying, but I can't say that I blame them. There are things housed there that are irreplaceable. Of course, we are all irreplaceable. Any act of violence due to a prejudice about religion or race or political beliefs is reprehensible and results in tragic loss. I am understanding of their concern about their archives. There's stuff there that just can't be replaced. Mm-hmm. There's no genetic material that will replenish the supply. We got to be careful. But anyway, it's a wonderful place. It's really an interesting place if you want to follow your genealogy, find out where your roots are. There's a place to go. There are people to talk to. And they have kindly agreed to host and support this effort. So let me read this press release to you. Okay, The Merchant of Venice extends in Yiddish one-night-only staged reading of Jacob P. Adler's infamous adaptation plays at Center for Jewish History. History has a strange way of repeating itself. English playwright William Shakespeare, whose play The Merchant of Venice is experiencing a stratospheric success on Broadway in a revival starring the American actor Al Pacino in the title role, will get a second chance. On Thursday, January 13th at 7 p.m., a mere 4 days after closing on Broadway, Shakespeare's drama will be presented again, this time in a staged reading of Jacob P. Adler's infamous Yiddish translation featuring all new cast. Merchant stars the great Yiddish tragedian from Washington Heights, David Mandelbaum. That's me, folks. Isn't that nice of somebody to say that? Even if he is a publicist. I Lake of Washington Heights. I am now ensconced in Weehawken, New Jersey. I just got tired of bumping into those strollers with the babies and the nannies. That's not how I grew up in that neighborhood. Anyway, let me go on with this here. Coinciding with the 99th anniversary of the Yiddish adaptation's Broadway premiere. Actually, it premiered on Broadway, I don't know exactly. The Merchant of Venice in Yiddish is presented by the New Yiddish Rep in association with the YIVO Institute for Jewish Research, the Congress for Jewish Culture, and the Yiddish National Theater, not to be confused with the National Yiddish Theater, Volksbühne. Now, I happen to be very proud of the fact that these organizations are getting together to present this, and it's a wonderful feeling because I wish there were more involved. I wish there were more people involved in presenting this, but this is a good start. And let me go on. Directed by Lester Thomas Shane, The Merchant of Venice performs one night only on Thursday, January 13th at 7 p.m. at the Center for Jewish History, 15 West 16th Street. Let me repeat that. That's 15 West 16th Street. That's between 5th and 6th Avenue. Admission is free, but reservations are highly advised. To reserve, call 212-246-6080 or visit www.yivo.org. That's 212-246-6080. In addition to Mandelbaum, who recently returned from a European tour of his critically acclaimed Yiddish adaptation of Zvi Kolitz's Yosser Rochmer Speaks to God, the extended Merchant of Venice features an entirely new cast. Among these are the Yiddish household names Alan Lewis Rickman and Yelena Shmuelson, both of A Serious Man. You may recall, those of you who saw the movie, that the opening opening scene is entirely in Yiddish. And I don't mind sharing with you that I auditioned for the role that Feivish Finkel got. And when I found out that Feivish got the role, I was happy if I wasn't going to get it, Feivish is, that's okay. I can live. Hi Wolf, who is also a very experienced and admired actor and singer on the Yiddish scene. He's also the artistic director of the Yiddish National Theater. It's wonderful that he will be participating and that the Yiddish National Theater is working with all of us on this. Laser Burko, of course, Shane Baker. Laser is part of the Volksbeat Truppe, and as is Amanda Miriam Chaya Siegel. They will be participating. Shane Baker is, of course, the bon vivant and man about town who starred in The Big Bupkis, A Complete Gentile's Guide to Yiddish Vaudeville. And it's just going to be a great cast. There will be some other folks in the cast. Lester Thomas Shane is a wonderful director with a long experience in directing Shakespeare. So I think it's going to be a great evening. Let me finish this. First translated into Yiddish in 1899 by the poet and furrier Joseph Bufschewer. Poet and furrier and anarchist. I think we have to emphasize anarchist. This guy was a wonderful poet. And we're trying to use as much of his translation as possible. I've seen it in print that Adler commissioned Bufschewer to translate Merchant. I haven't seen it corroborated, so I don't know if it's entirely true. But in 1899, Bufschewer translated the entire play and did so masterfully. I think Shakespeare would have approved. Had he, a lot of the joke about the Yiddish adaptations of Shakespeare is that the introduction is often read, translated and improved. I don't know about improving upon it, but he certainly did not detract from it. Bufschewer was a very talented poet, an admirer of Emerson and Thoreau. Unfortunately, after he translated almost immediately after he finished it, he was committed to an asylum in Poughkeepsie, New York, and spent the last 15 years of his life there. Something that you might say is an occupational hazard of anarchists. They do tend to end badly. One way or another. We won't go into the conspiracy theories right now. It's not germane. So, let's see. Yes, first tried Bufschewer. He went to a hospital. Right. okay. Adler also took the show to Gentile audiences, playing Shylock in Yiddish while the rest of the cast spoke English. He actually did it twice. In 1903, he did it, and he did it again in 1905 on Broadway. So I don't know about 99 years. It's more than 99 years. It's 105 years. But anyway, he did that, and it was very successful. Any of you who are interested, you can dig up the old Times review of it from 1905. It catapulted him into a position of prominence in as you know the Yiddish on the Yiddish stage, well, he was already prominent on the Yiddish stage, but it widened his renown, as it said here, through bringing it to Gentile audiences. It was in this lopsided bilingual version that Adler, the father of Stella Adler, starred on Broadway in 1901 in a highly notable two-week run. His distinctly regal portrayal was considered the definitive Jewish interpretation. Well, you know, I don't know about the dates and stuff, but that's substantially true. The Yiddish theater scholar and author Nama Sandrow, who wrote the seminal work on the Yiddish theater history, Vagabond Stars, A World History of Yiddish Theater, will introduce the reading. And I'm very proud to have Nama as part of this evening, too. Wonderful, wonderful woman, wonderful speaker and teacher, and translator of Yiddish theater. So it's going to be a great evening. That's Thursday, January 13th. I hope you make it down there. It is suggested that you reserve early because space is limited and it is free, as in keeping with New Yiddish Reb's policy of making art and culture affordable to all. There you have that. There's some interesting things happening in the world of Yiddish theater. One of them that I was privileged to participate in and hope to keep participating in is Yiddish Farm, which I think I've mentioned before. This is a group of young people who are determined to establish a organic, as they say in Europe, biologic farming community in upstate New York that speaks Yiddish, that works the land, produces environmentally sound and healthy products, food products, and conducts its internal business in Mamelushim. These kids are very passionate about this. It's at the instigation of two young guys who are part of Jugendtruf, and there are people participating from Jugendtruf. I mean, even an alter jad like me is involved, and I'm honored to be involved. It's a great effort, and it's something that it's a dream that I would be happy to see fulfilled. The idea being, of course, that there is a great deal of academic activity in Yiddish. You can study Yiddish at any number of places. You can even get it online and study it online. But you can't. There aren't very many opportunities to talk it and speak with people unless you belong to a Yiddish winkel or a club. Where people get together and just try to talk Yiddish once a week or once a month, whatever it is. And going out to Williamsburg and Borough Park and hanging out and trying to engage people in conversation out there is not going to be very comfortable or probably very productive unless you have a beard like me and can kind of convince them that maybe you belong to have some connection with the community. We need a place. We need a place. We need context for Yiddish. And this is the place to provide it. And one of the things that they are doing, and the first conference was last Sunday. It was a wonderful assembly, an introductory conference. It actually raised some money for the organization to go forward. they want to bring Hasidic and modern Orthodox and free thinking Jews together, who based upon their interest in Yiddish and a community where Yiddish is spoken. The idea being that the students of Yiddish who are not native speakers have something to learn from people who speak it from the cradle, whereas the Hasidic community, because of its insularity and because it does not deal with, for the most part, with secular material at all in Yiddish, I don't know how to describe how they put it delicately, but the Yiddish is not as the vocabulary is shrinking. It is, of course, the language is morphing in the United States. You know, a lot of Yiddish, as everyone knows, has found its way into English vernacular. A lot of English has found its way into Yiddish. But the interaction between the students, the academic students of Yiddish, and the native speakers, that interaction will hopefully result in a benefit to both groups, a benefit, of course, to the Yiddish revival. Hopefully it will continue and thrive. So that's a very interesting development. Stay tuned for where that's going to go. Also, there are some other interesting things going on. let's see, there is a, just by coincidence, a drama by Levick is being performed in Israel now by Yiddish Spiel, and it is simultaneously going to have a run in English here in New York. It's called, let's see, if I'm not mistaken, Shane V. de Lavona. It's a post-war drama by H. Levy, and it's being done here by the New World Theater Project, which is a company that originally called Theater of the Diaspora, which I helped to found, and is now being run by Ellen Peretzman. The Yiddish version is being run in Israel by Yiddish Spiel, so that's an interesting thing. Also, the next International Yiddish Theater Festival in Montreal is being prepared. The last one was a extravaganza. I mean, it was a party. And there were some good things in it. This one, I hope, will be very satisfying and edifying occasion. We'll see. We've been invited. I don't know exactly how that's going to turn out, but we're going to do everything we can to be there and do a new show. Well, there's things that I don't want to talk about just yet that are in the fire that should be very interesting. But right now, because it is the holiday season, and we all deserve a little joy and holiday cheer, I'm going to play you a little ditty that I'm sure you will enjoy. Thank you. Oises Amachaya. What a cheerful tune. Those of you who may not be familiar, it gives joy to the world by the Klezmonauts. And I want to continue now with one of my favorites, as you know, if you've listened to the show, Psoe Kirilenko. And one of these days, hopefully, we'll get him on the show and also present him again here in New York. Fabulous performer and a very interesting person. That's the inimitable Psoe Kirilenko. This is an album of Soviet-era songs, some of which he translated into Yiddish, which were very popular Soviet songs in the Soviet Union. I remember Yelena Shmuelson listening to some of this record and saying she remembered them from a kid in the Ukraine. She remembered hearing these songs and singing these songs. So it's an interesting piece of history. There was some Yiddish culture in the Soviet Union. Of course, all we really can remember is that beast Stalin slaughtering all those people, not only Jews, incidentally. He seemed to like killing people. Well, at any rate, there was some Soviet culture, Yiddish culture, and I've often asked Psoe to come on the show and speak about it and his experience of it growing up in the then Soviet Union. He's really one of the most mercurial performers I've ever seen. And one of these days, when we get him back here in New York, we'll invite you all to come and see him. So we talked about Yiddish Farm. We talked about a couple of the shows that are coming up. I I hope that things will continue to go well for Yiddish. I know that there are some problems. There are always financial problems, especially in these times. If any of you have a few discretionary dollars and you want to send them off to New Yiddish Rep, please feel free to do so. You can donate through our website, newyiddishrep.org. A portion of the money that we raise always goes to to a charity, such as we've given in the past to the American Jewish World Services Haiti Fund. I'm hoping in the near future to do another benefit concert for Haiti, Jewish artists for Haiti, which I initiated after the earthquake in cooperation with the Workman's Circle and quite a number of other organizations. So I'm hoping to do another one, so we give to that. We've also given to Masbia, a soup kitchen in Brooklyn and Queens, but a soup kitchen which attempts to do its work by guarding the dignity of the people that it services. And that is something that is quite extraordinary. They try to set these things up. They do set them up like a restaurant. If you were to walk in, for instance, to their place on Coney Island Avenue in Flatbush, and you'd go in. I mean, I went in there with a friend. We were curious. We wanted to see what it was about, and we walked in. We sat down at a table, and in inside of 20 seconds, people came over to us with trays of food and set them in front of us. There's no cashier. If you try to pay, you will be told, as I was, there's a box on the wall. If you want to make a donation, do it on your way out. And I don't know what the future of this organization will be. I understand that there are some changes in the wind, but from what I saw, this was one of the most heartwarming, righteous efforts at helping people I have ever seen. And I was so proud of it made me feel good as a human being, and it made me feel especially good as a part of the Jewish community, a part of the soul that out of which came this wonderful, sensitive service to the community. So we have donated to them. We've even donated to the Rhythm and Blues Foundation, believe it or not, because there's an awful lot of old blues and jazz musicians out there who need help. So we try to spread the poverty. I was going to say spread the wealth, but that would be ridiculous. So we try to spread what little there is. So I say, if you are in, you know, if you have some discretionary cash and you want to send it in, please do. We will let you know who the next candidate for our sharing is. But we do share because art is empty unless its goal is to help fix the world. Tikkun Olam. I don't know if fix the world is the right way to put it, but, you know, to make the world a better place, to inspire people to inquire and, you know, about into themselves and look around them and understand the world a little bit better and the people in it a little bit better. Yeah, it's trite. I know it's nonsense. It's just the holiday season, and we got to say these things. But that's what I believe art is about. That's what I believe theater is about. And if we're going to do it, we have to do it in a spirit of sharing, not only the art that we carry to the public, but whatever we can to people less fortunate. I'll give you an example that I get a big kick out of. Amy Coleman, who directed Yosef Akbar Speaks to God and is a co-founder of New Yiddish Rep, also my wife, is currently doing a series of concerts in gospel concerts in Italy, in southern Italy, in Calabria, and she's doing them in churches. It's being sponsored by the regional political party in power there now. And she's doing 20 concerts in 20 churches. She started on Sunday, and she will continue through like Christmas, like New Year's Eve. She's coming back the 29th. And the money that they raise through donations by the people who come to these shows is going to help dig wells in Kenya. I find that to be so great and so in keeping with how I feel about the art. I just get a big kick out of it. So that's what she's doing there now. What can I say? Wells in Kenya. Well, yeah. Getting back to the Yiddish stage, I'm kind of excited about this Merchant of Venice thing. And I don't really know how it's going to turn out. I've been sitting here slaving over the various translations. There have been many translations of Merchant, about nine that I have, and that I got through YIVO and the archives there. And I want to thank Leo Greenbaum there for helping me with that. And I want to thank Paul Herschel Glazer for arranging the space and the evening for New Yiddish Rep and the other organizations that are taking part in it. And so I'm slaving over this, trying to fit it all together. It's quite a task, but I hope the end result is an interesting one. Adler's version, although based a lot on the Bob Sugar translation, is based heavily also on Schwartzberg's translation. And there are some shticks that he inserts in the play that he takes directly from Schwartzberg. And we'll see how it plays out. I'm just can't wait to see how Lester Shane approaches this. I'm sure it's going to be a fabulously interesting experience. And I'm a little terrified at getting all these people that I named here in the same room together. Mendy told that great story last show about how when the Israeli government finally decided to try and do something for Yiddish after having suppressed it for years, they decided to make committees. And the committee for Ladino was a one person, and he started working right away. The committee for Yiddish took 12 years to assemble because nobody would sit in the same room together. Oh, if that one's going to be there, I'm not going to be there. The classic story. So it took them 12 years to assemble a committee, and then they got together and started fighting right away. So it gives you an idea of what we're up against. It's a Jewish thing, you know what I'm saying? So, I hope that we can survive all this and have a successful show and hopefully be able to reprise it a couple of times during the year, which we are planning to do. I also want to announce that the drummer for Golem, a band that some of you may know about, wonderful band, klezmer and Eastern European world music, has had an accident, and he's recovering and hopefully will recover fully. But in the meantime, he and the family need some help. And you can give him that help by going to the Facebook page of, go to Golem, go to the Golem Rocks com or the Facebook page of Annette Ezekiel Kogan. And they have a page set up where you can donate and help out. In a civilized country, this appeal would not be necessary. It is a national shame that things like this have to become a matter of concern for the public. In any civilized country, this would be a personal family matter that would never have to be aired in public ask for help from people. This is something that should be the right of every citizen of this country, every human being who is standing within the borders of this country. It's a dream, you know. That's what it is. It's a dream. We can dream on. I don't really believe it will ever happen. Look at what we're faced with here, education. My God, education should be we should take for granted that our children. Okay, when I went to City College, I paid a $40 registration fee and I had to buy books. And I could buy used books, you know. So maybe I spent $75, $80 in books a semester. Now, I know that back in 1964, $75 was today's money, whatever. But, folks, you can see that there were some differences. State colleges were still reasonable. Today, it's an ordeal for families to give their kids an education. And this is in the United States of America, the greatest country, the richest country, the most wonderful country in the world. Anyway, by way of saying, I didn't mean to stray into politics. I don't consider it politics myself. It's just my Jewish heart talking. You know, do we have our foibles, you know, the story about this shul, and I never set foot in, and this shul, and I have my stories too, and everybody's brightest with everybody. But in the end, I believe that our tradition has been for 2,000 years so extraordinarily informative in terms of what it has done to our hearts. And I don't believe that the Holocaust is an excuse to turn our backs on that. I don't believe it's an excuse to say, stop being an asshole and a naive schmuck, and understand that conquest is the answer. Dominance is the answer. being the alpha is the answer. I don't believe that. And I don't believe that that is what our tradition meant for us. Our history for the last 2,000 years has shown indubitably that culture, an ethnic identity and a culture, does not need to have geopolitical boundaries to thrive and survive. The Holocaust did a lot to derail that. But I don't believe it was simply the Holocaust. I believe that a lot of it had to do with the wrong thinking of nationalists who had to take a page out of the Goyim's book. You know, give me a king like every other nation has. Give us a king. We need a king. What do you need a king for? Well, maybe I'll be able to buy two more wives, and maybe I'll be able to buy 100 more goats, and because we'll take them from somebody else, it's really a cycle that we seem to have been breaking out of, and then unfortunately we have sunk back into in a very sad way, and I don't know if we're ever going to get out of it. But I do believe this. If Yiddish were a national language of the State of Israel, We would probably long ago have reached an agreement over there. Because Yiddish is a language of compromise. It is a language of feeling. It is a language of respect for human beings. I hope that we can work our way back into that mindset and that mentality. So I think I've spewed off at the mouth enough for a while. I want to play a little something for you that you know, just for old time's sake, from one of the old favorites. I'll only play a little couple of seconds of it for you, but I hope you enjoy it.
An innocent kid, some baby. I call at her home. We sit there all alone. Goodness me, but she is shy. That's the reason why I go so far with Sophie. When I'm with Sophie, and Sophie goes so far with me.
The great Eddie Cantor singing Sophie. Hey, if that didn't get a laugh out of you after all that. Sad stuff I was saying. I hope it did. Anyway, and here's another one that I want to play for you again. Just a little taste, in keeping with.
Of a nation, let those who will take care of its rights and wrongs. What care I who cares for the world's affairs? As long as I can sing its popular song, let me sing a funny song with crazy words that roll along. And if my song can start you laughing, I'm happy.
And that goes for me too. And now I want to take you out with something that I always get a big kick out of. And that is a rendition of Yiddish Mama by the great Billie Holiday. This was recorded, I guess, just at a table at a club that Billie was singing in. And I've played it before, but... hey, Billy is the shit. Here we go.
I need her more than ever now. My Asian mama, I long to kiss.
You gotta love this.
Smile.
Mama.
Oh, I know
You can't make stuff like that up, and you can't plan for it. So I hope you enjoyed the show today. For those of you who aren't listening, the hordes of people who don't listen to this show, we will be back in a couple of weeks, and that will take us into the new year, which is 2011 coming up. Let's hope it's a good year for the Jews and for the world, and that some of the things I've talked about start to be addressed by the people. The people, you know, it's the people. It always amazes me when we talk about Palin running against Obama. It always amazes me the American people will stand for this shit, you know. I mean, how can the American people not rise up as one demanding health care? Demanding the best health care possible for every one of us. I don't understand it myself, but hey, I'm sitting at home in Weehawken doing a radio show, so who am I to talk? But anyway, it's been great to be with you. It's been great to shoot my mouth off. Hey, it only costs a couple of bucks, and you can shoot you. If you buy an outfit, you can be a cowboy too. In the words of the Smothers Brothers, it's true today in this world of technology of radio. So you want a radio show, call these guys in Paradise, California. They'll set it up for you, no sweat. So it's been great to be with you. I don't know how much time we have left, but I'm going to go out with some more music. And just for a change, I thought maybe we would go out with a little gospel, you know, something that I personally like a lot, by the Mighty Clouds of Joy.